hour, so let's go ahead and call this meeting to order. Clerk, call the roll, please.
Doug Melton.
Here.
Jason Rosen.
Here.
Brian Ostertag.
Here.
Joe Daniels.
Yes.
Mike Federino.
Here.
All right. So seeing we have a full complement, this is a continuation hearing from the original meeting, which was, I believe, on the 4th of February. Our members have had a chance to review the minutes from that part of the meeting. We won't be repeating or going over any of that again. So since we have, once again, a larger crowd, I'll go over, for everyone's benefit, the way these meetings will run tonight. This is a continuation hearing. So tonight, I think everyone had a chance to sign in. If you didn't get a chance to sign in, the sign-up sheet is up here in the front. If you could just quietly do that at some point, if you haven't already. Tonight, we will be giving all those in favor of the proposed amendments and appeals the opportunity to come up and give 3 minutes of testimony per person, as long as that testimony is new and different from any previously submitted testimony. So we're not going to rehash things that we've already been over for the application. We're just going to do anything new or different that you want us to know. Once those who are in favor and would like to speak in support of the request have done so, then we'll give the opportunity and we're going to start. Anyone who has not previously spoken will have the first right to come up and speak for 3 minutes. And then after those people, if someone who has previously spoken has a substantially new topic of address, they may come up and also bring up that new topic, but we will not be taking any repeat testimony. So if you've already testified before us once, we will not take any new testimony at this time. Everyone will have their 3 minutes to speak. If testimony drifts off topic or into areas that aren't germane to the appeals before us tonight, we may choose to terminate the testimony at that time. Okay. With these rules outlined, I would also remind everyone this is a 5-member board. Tonight we have the full complement of the board. A minimum of 3 yes votes is required for any motion to pass this board. That being said, I think we've covered all of the housekeeping. So I would ask the clerk to reread the applications and then we'll start in the testimony.
Okay. Barber of Sox Real Estate, 5979 Dublin Road, Delaware, Ohio, is requesting variances for the property located at the southwest corner of County Road 11 and Township Road 216, Bell Fountain, which is currently zoned R1. Variances to R1 zoning, including permitting a minimum lot width of 60 feet, a minimum lot size of 7,800 square feet, minimum front yard setback of 20 feet, minimum rear yard depth of 30 feet, and minimum side yard width of 5 feet with a total side yard combined width of 10 feet. Additionally, he is asking for an exception to exclude single family lots from side yard modifications identified in Chapter 1155.05A of City of Bell Fountain Codified Ordinances. So the side yard setback is 5 feet with no further modifications for this property. This property is currently zoned R1, one family residence district.
Thank you. All right, is there anyone here who's in favor of us granting these variances who'd like to come forward and provide testimony at this time? If anyone is here who has an opposition to this testimony, who has not previously provided testimony, you have just to approach the podium and you'll have to swear in, and then we'll grant you 3 minutes to talk. All Right, so if you read the paper down there, that's your swearing in. Just read along, and then once you're done, we'll give you 3 minutes.
I, David M. Lyons, of 1290 County Road 11, swears under pains and penalties of perjury that the testimony I give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Thank you.
I haven't been here for any of these, so I guess what I'm asking is he's wanting to shorten these lock widths to give us a greater green space around this property. Is that my understanding?
No, there are no shortening of the widths of lots. The shortening is in the depth of the
lot. Right, that's what I said, the depth.
Okay.
Not to make an extra road, to give more green space, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Then I say that we need a 50-foot landscaped green space around the perimeter of this property with rolling hills to help elevate the height of the trees, because that way we can still have a country living. Nobody wants to sit on their front porch and look across the road when you're in the country and see nothing but rows of homes. I feel there should be a stipulation on the size of the trees that are planted. I think like 5-foot pines, 1.5-inch caliper hardwood trees, and I think some small mounds should be developed to add some height to these trees so that this development doesn't jump out at you like a sore thumb, and it gives courtesy to the people that live around us. You know what I'm saying? That he's showing a little respect for them. Do I have any time left out of my 3 minutes? Really, that's all I have to say. But I people still want the country. You know what I'm saying? And I think that could be the least that he could do, would be something like that for the neighbors, because nobody wants to sit out there on their front porch with a cup of coffee and look at a bunch of trash cans sitting out there on Thursday. Plus, the 50-foot buffer gives some place for trash to collect before it goes over to the soccer field on a 35-mile-an-hour west wind out there, which nobody knows what it's like unless you live there. And also, when the field adjacent to it is cutting down crops, you know what I'm saying, the dust that it produces, the corn husk that ends up in somebody's yard, if you've got a 50-foot buffer, at least it keeps it, you know what I'm saying, from people's properties. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
That was the truth.
You swear by it?
I swear by it.
Is there anyone else who has previously been able to testify but would like to give testimony here tonight?
I, Jeff Lamb, swear under the pains and penalties of perjury to testify I give. I don't know what that says there. Shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Okay, and where do you live, Jeff?
I live on Township Road, Lake Township Road 181.
All right, perfect. You're sworn in. Thank you.
I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. You were mentioned earlier again about the R1. Will this stay R1 regardless of the lot size changes?
Yes. This is not to discuss a change in the zoning. This would be an exception to the R1 regulations.
Thank you. And then in the past, it was said that they were not going to add any other homes. So is this green space that we're discussing, the 10-foot, whatever it turns into be, all the way around the whole facility or property, or just the west and then south side?
I believe what was described was the whole perimeter, but the board will probably consider that and clarify that when we go to make the motion.
If it's in full, the whole property, every lot is getting shrunk, if you will, then there's additional room for additional homes. And that adds to everything that we discussed before. Now, my understanding was previously, I didn't speak, but I was here, that the lot sizes were changing, but the number of homes wouldn't. I can't see how you could change that many lot sizes and not have some other space if you're not putting green space all the way around. So I just was questioning where that's going to be and how that really is going to affect it. The green space was mentioned that there's talk to some of the neighbors out there in the last meeting. I think there's 6 or 7 folks that live out around there. 6 of them are one on Lake. You have the rest of them on the south end. Of course, we have the farmer that has the property down through there. I look at that a little strange. It's trying to say you talk to all these people but there's a greater amount of people in here that's more concerned for it than what's being said. Maybe represent the green space. So I'm a little taken back by that wording being used and how it was used. So that's why I was asking about the lot size and the green space. The green, when anybody uses the word green space, that's a big heap because everybody's always looking for green space. Mm-hmm. So the wording itself picks on and brings up a topic that a lot of people fall and like. Mm-hmm. But if it's not truly being represented through the whole property, then what are we really gaining? And then the only other thing, seeing as how limited the time, I only had a couple anyway. I'm just curious how many people in here have actually looked at the Ludlow building expansion going on out there, and even in the back or the front of this room. If you look at the small lots, you'll see very small lots, and I said it before in that one, we need homes, we need housing, additions, I understand that, but the large lots, I think, is more appealing. I lived in that neighborhood for 18 years. I've been in Logan County for 67. So I think bigger looks nicer to what Bell Fountain needs.
Thank you. We appreciate your input. Oops. Is there anyone else here who has not had a chance to previously speak on this topic?
Hi, Rachel Moreland of 877 County Road 11, Bell Fountain. Swear under pains and penalties of perjury that the testimony I give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Thank you.
So after the last meeting, I went home and looked up a bunch of stuff about zoning and read all the Bell Fountain codified ordinances that pertain to it. So as I understand it, then according to the ordinances, these variances are supposed to be for specific conditions pertaining to a specific piece of property. So this would suggest that any variation to lot size or setbacks would be the exception rather than the rule, and that most new developments would maintain the typical R1 specifications. But this is the fifth new development for which these developers have requested some kind of variance. So as an example, two-story houses in R1 areas are supposed to have 8-foot side setbacks with a total of at least 18 feet between houses, as I understand the zoning code. But what do we have in practice? We have Ludlow Ridge with 5-foot side setbacks. We have the property at Michigan and Wren with 5-foot side setbacks. We have the Levan property bordering Ludlow with 5-foot side setbacks. And now the Dietrich property is possibly going to be 5-foot side setbacks. And that's in addition to other adjustments to the lot sizes and setbacks. So that only leaves Marist Park that's basically being built with the R1 standards, with variances just being used for a specific corner lot. So do all of these four properties meet the requirement of exceptional circumstances?
We're not here to adjudicate other properties. We need
Sorry.
To it's talk about this one.
I know. It is a rhetorical question. I mean, it says exceptional or extraordinary circumstances or conditions applying to the property in question or the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other properties or classes of uses in the same zoning district. 4 out of 5 properties sounds like a new rule rather than an exception, setting a new and lower standard for appearance and safety in Bell Fountain. So if there are exceptional circumstances for this property, the green space that's been discussed, I would ask that you please get that in writing, what Mr. Lyons was talking about, before granting any variances. Otherwise, trust in a system that's supposed to protect our community is already really fragile. And granting variance after variance is eroding it for the people who live, work, and pay taxes here now. Thank you.
Okay, is there anyone else who has yet to have the opportunity to speak? Seeing none, I will reopen if anyone who has previously spoke but has information to share different than that which has already been shared or different than that they have already personally shared. They may retake the stand.
I, Russell Miller, swear under pains and penalties of perjury that the testimony I give shall be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Thank you.
What, and I'm not sure of the protocols on this, I have some pieces of information here with the mathematics that goes with.
You can submit your paper to Joe right there, Mr. Daniels. I'm sorry, Mr. Daniels, take it.
I'll pass
it down.
Might be a couple extra there.
And I'll extend his time 20 seconds because of the paperwork passing down.
Just going over the mathematics of what has been presented and what's at stake. Basically 142 acres with the deeded property. If a 50-foot perimeter, as has been suggested, would be utilized, then that setback would represent slightly over 12 acres on a 160-acre property. This would be slightly less than that, since it's less than that acreage. That would leave 130 acres for development, allowing 30 acres for street and miscellaneous infrastructure, water runoff control. That would just leave 100 acres. Even at 100 acres, and this information was from the city engineer's office today, the Maris Park is platted at 3 lots per acre, including, and that takes into account all of the infrastructure that goes with it. That would leave room for 426 plots, as is, no change in 9,000-foot variance. And what I heard at our last meeting was that that was a high number for the number of houses that would be included in this plat. So the implication to me, and I hope to you, is that there is no need for any variance here to accommodate both a generous amount of green space and also lot sizes that would stay within the city code. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to offer testimony at this time?
I would. There's a bunch of answers. I, Thomas Moreland, swear under pains and penalties of perjury that the testimony I give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It was said at the last meeting that there would be no additional lots added in result of this variance. Mr. Barrett kept saying that that was because the frontage of each lot was not changing. That only makes sense to me if the roads are locked down. If you aren't going to add any linear feet of roadway in this development, that would be true. But I'm a very visual person. I need to see things to understand them. So I did a quick layout with and without the variance, leaving 20% of the acreage completely bare back where the pond is. And I was able to put a whole nother road with 50 houses on it with that change, just because of the lots getting shorter. So each one of those sold for $300,000, that would be $15 million added to the value of this project. Now, if that's what the developer needs to be to make this work, I would not argue that, because at this point, I feel like it's kind of a done deal that this is not going to be farm ground anymore. If that's what it takes to make him successful and not leave a half-finished development in our backyard, I'm okay with that. But I think there's plenty of room with those shorter lots to create that 50-foot landscaped perimeter around the entire development. And that would go a long way to my neighbors and I, who moved to the country for a reason, to not feel like this thing was taking us over. So just want to reiterate that what the developer's asking for is it's not just a gift to us and to your city. It has a lot of value attached to it, and I hope that you won't give it away for free. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
On your drawing here, you didn't leave a space around the edge like he said he was going to have a 20-foot green space around it.
So what I was trying to do, without changing anything to this layout, I wanted to illustrate that you could get another row of houses on there, okay? So no, I didn't show the 50-foot barrier, the 50-foot boundary.
I think you said 20.
Okay, but Mr. Lyons and some of us were,
Mr. Lyons,
we're asking for 50-foot.
Right, exactly.
I think that would make a big difference, especially if it's landscaped and has a privacy barrier. That would make a huge difference. You know, when my nephew's cutting beans or corn and blowing up a 50-foot plume of dust, I think it'll make a big difference for the residents, too, as well as existing people. Did I answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Any other questions? All right, thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to offer testimony at this time?
Hi, Gary Voss, 1323 Township Road 216. Swear on the pains and penalties of perjury. This is a testimony I give. Shall be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I think, I don't know if he's been able to submit any plans for what his desires were for the development. It didn't seem like he was really wanting to do that last time we were here. But without knowing what his plans for the existing 9,000 would be, it's hard to say that it's not going to get any worse with 7,800 square feet per lot, because there's no initial foundation of numbers to start with. So it can kind of be whatever he wants it to be. Mr. Lyons mentioned the landscaping. I think there's a lot of things that can be promised. We see it all the time in different political offices and different stages of life and contracting and whatever. I mean, people promise, but they don't fulfill. And being held to account for it is very difficult. I think that we should have, before consideration is given, I think we should have in writing some of these things. We should have the plat plan. When someone brought up, when I have somebody, and I'm a zoning appeals person in Lake Township, if somebody comes to get a variance, they're required to bring drawings, to have drawings already pre-submitted of their what they're desiring to do and how it's going to affect the neighborhood. We haven't seen that. I don't know what the rules are for this, but I can't imagine it's a whole bunch different that he shouldn't have to give us some idea of what his plans are. He spouted off at one point that well, you guys draw something out. Well, Mr. Moreland did that, but I don't know how well it did or whatever, but it's not our job to do it. It's his job to do it, and it's not that difficult to do for someone who does this for a living. I would say that this has to be in writing before consideration is given, or it's a blank check to somebody who's, frankly, not have a great record of trustworthiness. That's it.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak at this time? Is there any additional written correspondence that has been received that needs to be submitted in for the record? All right. Prior to closing the public testimony phase, we always give the applicant one more chance to readdress the board, address any concerns that may have come up, or answer any final questions of the board.
Thank you for hearing us tonight. Bart Barrett, 5979 Dublin Road. I swear under pains and penalties of perjury that the testimony I give shall be truthful and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So I appreciate you guys hearing us tonight. A couple items here with some of the questions. The questions about the buffer and the green space, what we have talked about is reducing the depth of the lot. That is where the green space is coming from. So by doing that, we can pull the property, and it's not just, if you have four rows of houses that are lined up, you're not just pulling the 20 feet from the 150 to 130 on the perimeter or extending it. You're pulling it from all four streets that are tied into that, so that you can create a significant amount of buffer. And that buffer is step number one, because one, it pulls the property lines of these homeowners away from the existing property lines. Some of them are farm fields, but some of them are actually houses. Also pulls their property lines, the properties that the homeowners will own, away from the roadways as well. In doing so, we then can get to something that the city has asked us to try to get to, and that's larger green space and multi-purpose trails. I talked about the trails the last time. Right now, all communities have sidewalks. That's a requirement of the building code and that sort of thing. But while sidewalks are great, you don't have kids in the street, they have to cross the streets at every intersection that they go down through there. When they're on the sidewalks, you have people backing out of driveways. So it's safer than the streets, but it's not the safest thing. The better thing is to use the common area and take the bike trails through the common area. You can lap them around your ponds that you built for detention and those sort of things. And you have a longer walks with uninterrupted streets and those sort of things. Now, they tie in. That's the premise. So your code is outdated. That's what the variance is. Somebody asked about all the variances that have come through here. Because at Ludlow Ridge, we did ask for 50-foot lots and 5-yard setbacks. Didn't have an issue on the depth. When on the Arbor Run, we asked for 40-foot lots and 5-foot setbacks. On Morris, it was 60-foot lots and 5-foot setbacks. Now, the 60-foot lot's not a variance because your R1 code requires the minimum be 60-foot. And that's the same we're doing here. We're not touching the 60-foot. So the individual is right. If we don't change the roadway structure, then there won't be more lots by reducing the depth. But it allows us to accumulate all of the open space around the perimeter, some in the middle, but around the perimeter that allows us to pull these property lines of the future homeowners away from existing residents and create an area that we can put that multi-purpose trail through. And that trail will connect to the park, it'll connect our main entrances to each other, and then, you know, it becomes an amenity. This is something that the R1 code does not require. It does not require any common area percentage, and it doesn't require multi-purpose trails. But working with your previous park director, it was something that he was really wanting to get started, and we committed that we'd work with him on that. So the reduction of the rear yard setback is critical for the common area and that, and the multi-purpose trail. So the calculation that the individual did, where he got 4 units of common area, if I got that correct, using the 50 foot all the way around the perimeter, that actually 4 acres out of 141 acres is 2.7%. What I was offering, which we would put in writing, it becomes law, if you guys put it in, I agree to it, is that we will have a 20% common area. So we will utilize it's about 28 acres of the project to create the common areas to be able to put the multi-purpose trails through. Now, some of that will be in between lots, but the majority of that, and the far majority of that, will be centered around the property line.
If we were to hold you to a particular number of feet for that perimeter loop, I believe I read from our previous minutes that you had suggested 40 feet. Are you still firm on the 40 feet, or would you be amenable to a 50 foot or?
I don't think I suggested 40. I said that we think we're going to have 40 to 300. There are areas where a detention pond is going to go. That is going to be 300 foot away. So,
right.
So it, it
well, would, I was just wondering a minimum depth. If we put up like a minimum on it, would that be?
The minimum depth probably would apply to 217. That's okay. Where, you know, I can't take the design 100 feet away from 217. But having 40 foot there, we're going to have an 8 to 10 foot bike trail. There will be some trees. You know, I don't know what they're definition of landscaping is. You know, when you do a bike trail, you also put a tree, you know, so often it's usually 25-30 foot, to kind of shade that bike trail over time. But bike trails usually aren't mound. This is a flat piece of ground. I don't know if we are positive or negative dirt. So if we are positive dirt, then we probably could put some mounds in some of the common areas that don't have the bike trails going through them. Okay, now if it's a big enough common area, we probably wouldn't put mound, because then you can have kids kick a soccer ball and do some other things in that area if it's grassed and it's mowed down. So, but the reduction in from 150 foot to the 130 is for the common area and us to be able to put the bike trails in, which again, you know, 8, 10 foot multi-purpose trails, they're not cheap. So we're putting that in and committing to it with the city. And it was something the city that asked us to do. We tried to do a little bit of one of our projects, but it really wasn't set up well because it wasn't thought through at the beginning of the project. We tried to kind of modify it. So that's the most important thing with the reduction in the other, in the 150 to the 130. The reductions on the side yard create no existing additional lots, because you have a 60 foot lot and all you're doing is making them 6 or 8 foot and going down to 5. So there's no way on the internal, whether it's the front, the rear, or the side lots, once you get on the lot, that you can create any more units off of that. What that does, it allows you to build a little bigger home. So, or more deck, or more patio, or something like that with those things. And I think I ran through the math the first time that, you know, if you take the 130 lot and you break it down, you get to be about an 80-foot building pad, and that's an ideal building pad for the houses that we're targeting here.
Does anyone else have any questions at this time for the applicant?
On the HOA project like this, what about fences between the properties?
We allow fences.
That works like that?
Yeah, so we allow fences. We've got some definition that there's two fences, how they fit together. Pretty side's got to be out. It can't be. You can't put the ugly side towards your neighbor. We've had some issues with wood fences, so we're going away from wood fences. So it's got to be a different type of material. And those issues kind of stem from some experience we had at Marist Park. So the material has got to be vinyl. It can be wrought iron. It can be aluminum. There's some others. And it's got to be maintained. But the HOA will be the one that makes sure that's maintained. If somebody's fence starts falling down, you know, the HOA will go and, you know, tell them they've got to fix the fence. They either fix it or take it down or whatever. So, I mean, the whole community will have HOA standards. Somebody has mentioned, you know, storing, you know, garbage cans and all that. Well, there's rules for that. I mean, you'll put it out one day, but it can't sit on the curb. It can't sit on, you know, outside your garage on the pavement for 3 days in a row and those sort of things. And that's what Township Living doesn't have a lot. I read a few things online where, you know, this, you know, extended lots will give them the ability to put sheds and other things. Well, this isn't that type of community. Well, you have the ability to do sheds, but they have to look like your house. You just can't go to Lowe's and buy one and just bring it over and plop it down. So, you know, it's got community standards, and the people that move here understand those standards.
I just didn't know how that fence thing worked on the HOA.
Yeah.
Does anyone else at this time have any further questions?
I do.
All right, thank you, sir. You may have a seat. Please make yourself available. The board will have a discussion, sir, and if something does crop up, we may call you to retestify. But at this time, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing. I need a motion to close the public hearing.
That's up to you.
I'll second it. Motion to be.
I didn't know if technically that's just in the power of the seat, or is that something that we can do to. Seeing nothing from there, I'm going to assume it's something we can do. So we'll just go ahead and do it, and let's go into our discussion, guys. So, obviously, you all have the motion before you. You've heard all the testimony. As we always do, we consider this, and we consider if there are any conditions that we might want to put on a variance should we choose to grant it. So I think if we don't have any more questions for the builder at this time, I think we should go into a discussion of what sort of conditions we might be wanting to attach to any of these variances, if any. And then if we can come to a consensus on that, then we can make a motion for the variances themselves.
So the applicant is not going to put the 50-foot landscape around the perimeter of the trees.
That's not a set.
That's
not a set figure.
Yeah, he gave testimony last time that he thought 40 foot to up to 300 foot in different areas, just because of the description of the property. Some of the folks who gave testimony requested it be 50 foot instead of the minimum. We could stick with what the builder said. We could consider the 50 foot. I kind of did put that to him up there as a potential question. You heard his response to it. So, if we want to put, because he's offering up to 28 acres to 29 acres, 20% of the property being green space. I think that's totally fair to put on then as a condition. If we all remember the way this works is they don't have to have a plan on paper to come for this initial variance. When they do plat the property, they do have to go back to Planning Commission, correct? So once they actually get the housing, the drawings done, they still have another step where they will go to the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission can look at it and say, you know what, zoning board said 40 foot of green space, but now that we look at it, we like 50 foot of green space. We like 60. They could always do that at the Planning Commission. So ours is to set a guideline of what we think most reasonable baseline to start that process rolling. And then once they do get those drawings up, that's up to the Planning Commission to decide if they're going to accept the proposed plot or plat or not. So he's made the offer of 20% green space. Do we know the exact acreage on here? Is that written down somewhere? This paper I'm looking at, the gentleman said 143, but that's his figure. I didn't know if that was the engineer's figure on that. I know it's approximately that.
It's approximately 143 acres.
Okay. So 20% is 28.6. So we could just round that 29 acres and say that he has and that's a minimum. If he wants to put in another park in the middle for another 50-acre park in the middle, because that's what he wants to do, he can put more green space in, but he would have to keep it at a minimum of 29 acres of green space as he goes to design the plot. And then I do think if he, since the main point of his requesting the variance is so that he can do this thing for the city, the bike trails and the extra green space, I do think we need to lock it down a minimum width on that, and I think we can have a discussion of whether we want that to be 40, which he's brought up, or if we do want to try to push that 50. That's kind of up to us what sort of conditions we would want to put on that.
As a condition, do we since the number of houses has not been circulated?
That's not what we're here for.
Yeah, I think when we get into number of houses, the issue becomes that that's kind of hard to conceptualize. So if we look at the submitted, and we look at the drawing, you see we're losing 20 feet off the back of the properties, right?
At least.
So 20, at most, right, because they can't go more than that, because if they go more than the 20 feet, now, granted, they could make a bigger property, in theory. He can make as big a property as he wants. He can put a 10-acre property out there if he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
But we would have a minimum of every property would be at least 130 foot deep, in theory. And so, as opposed to the 150 minimum. So if you look at two homes back to back, you're losing 40 foot per every 130 plus 130 is 260 plus 20 feet, roughly, right?
The right of way is 60.
Right of way is 60 foot.
Yeah.
So if the right of way, but that, does that go into the yard?
That
or is the yard
considered
sidewalk.
Yeah.
That goes to your
so,
property line.
So 130 plus 130 is 260 plus 60. So 320 feet for every street from the back of a home to the back of the home across the street is 320 feet with this design versus being 360 feet if we don't grant. So he's only, so for every street it's only 40 feet. So if you go, that's the math. Because I sat down and I tried to think what number, you know, and it's very difficult to know a number per se. If you've done the math and you want to share a number that is on your mind, I'm happy to hear it.
I am. Well, I've seen several people or several sheets that where the number of lot determinations have been attempted, and it just seems to be a wide discrepancy.
And what, by the way, you've seen on social media.
I haven't read anything on social media. I'm just looking at these pictures.
I don't know how I feel about finding a number on houses. In theory we could. I just don't know a good way to come up with a calculation, because it could be that when all math and engineering is done, he's got, call it 375 houses, but we've given him 20 more or 20 less, and then the planning commission could look at it and say, nah, we think he can do a couple more.
Because
we're not the final arbiter on what the ultimate thing looks like.
Yeah, we can't put a number on that.
And that's why if he gives us the streets, now, he's not even locked into those, because the Planning Commission can look at all the work that we do and decide they don't like any of it.
Exactly.
So we just got to consider, do we think that based on the testimony that he's come up with, the restrictions that we're thinking about putting on, is that a reasonable base to give to the Planning Commission to give them things to go on?
Okay.
Did you have anything else, though?
No, I do not.
So, I think the first thing that we need to decide then is, are we all comfortable saying 29 acres?
Yes.
Okay, that's just going to go into the motion then, and we're going to attach the conditions to the, I think we only really need to attach the conditions to the first variance, because that's the variance for the size reduction. The others are about how big of a house he can put on the lot. And so that doesn't really play into green space or anything like that at all. So we're going to do 29 acres. And then how do we feel about the size, the minimum width that he's got to make that buffer zone? exceed it, but this would be adding a minimum width to it.
40?
I mean, the broader the better, generally speaking. He has said that 40 works for him. I think the people was maybe liking it a little bit more.
Well, it may be.
So, but if he says 40 works, that's a good number to stick with to me.
It could be that, but it could also be bigger.
And it could be bigger. He could choose, we're giving him a, you must be at least this.
Exactly.
So if he says he can at least do 40 for sure, and then he wants to take it to 50 or 300, like you said, in some areas where he may put retention ponds or other flat space. I don't think we can specify whether he builds berms or ditches or anything like that, because that's that only happens once those studies have been done for that land. That's something that the Planning Commission can weigh in on when that happens. And then there will be some landscaping, whether it be a perfect living hedge all the way around the property or not. That's once again up to the Planning Commission. So let's call it minimum of 40. I think everyone's happy with that number here. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other things that we've thought about that we would like to attach to this particular variance? I do actually have a question for the applicant, one more that did come to mind. I'm so sorry to bring you back up. I will consider you still sworn in. This is just to refresh my memory. The connecting into the park system that's there, mm-hmm. you made an agreement with the city when you were annexed in that you were going to connect to the park, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so I'm just making sure I don't need to include that here.
Well, you can put it in there if you want, but we've already made that commitment.
And that's for a walking track?
That's correct. We will have a walking track.
This track that we're talking about.
At our main intersection right there, which is directly across from the park's main intersection. Mm-hmm. That will be ours, and we will connect into the park there. So we did make that, but you could put that in there.
Okay. For sake of making it, we'll probably put it in.
Okay.
Since we've already. I just want to make sure that I
You can put in there that we waive the incentives, too, and aren't applying for the abatement for the school, too, if you want.
Oh, you want that part of the record, too?
Well, you can put it on part of the record on everyone so people remember it.
Okay.
So, but it was part of the annexation and the zoning that we committed not to apply
for. You are not applying for any abatements. Nope. I think that's fair.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right. So I do want to add both of those onto here just for the official record to make sure it's written as many places as possible since he's requesting that we add on these conditions. That it include that he may not apply for any abatements on any properties.
Well, hold on. This property.
On this property.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. For any properties in this particular development, if that's okay with the city attorney.
If the board wants to do that, absolutely.
Okay. And then also include that he agrees to tie any bike and walking trails into the city park system, that's called Southview Park. Yeah, that's Southview Park. And I joined the board, Doug. They always said the newest guy had to make the motions, but I will take anyone who feels confident they can make that motion. And we're going to do one variance at a time. And then before we do that, is there any other discussion that we need to have on any of the other issues? Any questions on side yards or other things? If not, then we can proceed.
Do you have anything on the engineer's side?
As far as
comments?
No, I don't think so.
Is there anyone? Oh, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
All right. So if I hear a motion, then we will proceed with the vote tonight. If I don't hear a motion, we'll have to continue. But I think we can probably get a motion in if we have someone
I would go ahead and make the motion that we are prepared to vote on these variances.
Do you need to see the first variance and be able to make the motion? Section 1135-05 to reduce the minimum lot size to 7,800.
Right.
And then you have to verbalize all four of those conditions that we talked about.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Mike, do you think you got it?
I don't.
Can I make a motion?
I'll make
as the
motion.
Chair?
Joe,
no, Joe, you got it? You do it, Joe.
I'd like to make a motion that Mark Barak, Fox Realty, 5979 Devlin Road, Delaware, Ohio, be allowed to minimum lot size from 6,000 to 20 feet, section 1135.05, with the exception of 29-acre green space, with a minimum of 40-foot buffer all the way around, and bike and walking track be hooked to the Southview Park, and there'll be no more abatements to this.
I think everything except for, I think you said 6,000 when you meant to say 7,800.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, variance to 1135.05, 7,800.
Second.
Motion's been
seconded.
Sorry about that.
Yes.
Jason Robson.
Yes.
Brian Osterfeld.
No.
Joe Daniel.
Yes.
Mike Vetterino.
Yes.
Okay, motion is carried. We'll entertain the next motion.
Yeah, all four of those.
No, that was all one.
As far as the conditional stuff.
That was for lot sizes. We need ones for front yard, rear yard, side yard, and chapter 1155.
All right. Do you have to include the conditions in each
of these? No, the conditions were tied to the first variance only. These are, we agreed no conditions on these variances.
So, all I have to do now is make a motion to grant a variance for.
You got it there.
Grant a variance for front yard from 25 feet, a variance for 20 feet for these properties. Under the chapter 11 requirement. Any more than that?
So you're talking about your
the front yard
variance at 1155.01.
Yes, from 25 feet to 20 feet. That's
from 25, granted a 5 foot variance from 25 to 20.
Correct.
Okay. Second.
Second.
Brian Osterfeld.
No.
Joe Daniels.
Yeah.
Mike Vetterino.
Yes.
Doug Elton.
Yes.
Jason Robson.
Yes. Rear yard variance?
Mm-hmm.
I make a motion that the rear yard variance, the rear yard ordinance of 40 feet be lessened by 10 feet to a 30-foot space under Chapter 1155.01.
Just a quick correction. I think that's 1155.04.
Okay.
But that's just for the clerk to get the variance right. And that's a 10-foot variance rear yard. Moved and seconded.
Joe Daniels?
Yeah.
Mike Federino?
Yeah.
Doug Elton?
Yes.
Jason Robson?
Yes.
Brian Osterfeld?
No.
Side yard.
I make a motion that the side yard stipulation of 6 to 8 feet be lessened to 5 feet under Chapter 1155. Whatever Carol says it is.
1155.05.
I think the 1155.05A is separate from all the setbacks.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to read along here. This is a lot of words in front of me.
So,
okay, so that's still 1155.04.
So you're asking variances to the R1 zoning, not necessarily to the Chapter 1155.
R1 zoning.
Okay, R1 zoning.
Yeah. From 6 to 8 feet to 5 feet.
So the 1155.05 is a separate variance.
Separate variance. That, and that's the final variance, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just specifically the 1155.05A.
All right. So the engineer is happy with the motion as it was presented.
I think
side yard, R1 side yards. Variance of 1 foot to allow to a minimum.
R1 zoning, yes.
R1 zoning, yeah, to the variance of 5 foot. Yeah. You can hear. Give me a second.
Yes, please. Thank you. Doug Elton?
Yes.
Jason Robson?
No.
Brian Osterfeld?
Yes.
Joe Daniels?
Yes.
Mike Federino?
Yes.
All right, and then does anyone have any questions about our last 55A? That's all the... So that motion could read something like... grant an exception to Chapter 1155.05A, and that'd be all you need to say.
For the total side yard?
Yeah, just re-grant an exception to Chapter 1155.05A. That's the wording.
I make a motion that we grant an exception to Chapter 1155.
05A.
I
second that.
Brian Osterfeld?
Yes.
Joe Daniels?
Yes.
Mike Federino?
Yes.
Doug Elton?
Yes.
Jason Robson?
Yes. Okay. So there are two side yard questions. One side yard is to allow for the 5 foot, and the other one is setting aside this chapter, which says something like for every foot tall, you got extra things. So you can miss. It doesn't change the overall vote, I don't think, but.
Yeah, I don't think.
So we can address that afterwards with that's an administrative rule. So with that, I believe all five of the variances were granted.
There's one more. So I think this gentleman said it. The 10-foot total side yards was not voted on.
Yeah.
So
I thought we got the side yards.
Yeah, we did not.
You reduced the five to each five.
Yeah, we went from the variance for the five the side yard, the two side yards, but we didn't get the total side yard.
Well, we didn't do the total side yard.
15 to 18.
The math works out that way, but your math previously had 19 and the minimum was 8, so I think the 10 needs to be done.
Okay. So before we move to the vote, let's make sure we're all clear on that. We've given them a minimum of a 5 yard, but it still requires a total side yard of 15 to 18 feet, and they're requesting a drop in the permitted total side yard to a minimum of 10 feet. Does that all make sense to everyone?
Yeah.
Okay. Did that answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and make a motion for that one then.
I make a motion to reduce the R1 15 to 18 feet total side yard to 10 feet.
My second.
Mike Federino.
No.
Joe Daniels.
Yes.
Brian Osterfeld.
No.
Jason Rosen.
Yes.
Doug Elton.
Yes.
Okay. So all of your motions have carried through tonight. You will need to report to the engineer's office to find out what your next steps are. I'm sure you've already been in communications there. As you know, Jim is on vacation today, but you can contact him. Please take all of our instructions to heart as you design the next stage of your development. And as you know, you will go back to Planning Commission and things. If you have any questions over anything that we put on as conditional granting of that variance, just come back up to us and ask us, and we can explain it again.
Okay. I appreciate your time. We should be back in about 45 days.
All right, thank you. All right. Our next meeting will be held at the regular time in March, on March 3rd. You know, I think we have talked about having an organizational meeting yet because we've got Doug on here, and with Wes having been the chair and leaving, we haven't had a full quorum of everyone to vote through officers and things like that. That's something we want to talk about tonight's meeting, or won't wait till the end of the next meeting in March. Let's touch base on the next one. We've all worked hard today, so let's go ahead and I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second. In favor.